Well, if you love Jesus, you want your life to count, you want to make an impact. On today's broadcast, I'm going to focus on 10 simple steps you can take to be a world changer for the Lord.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
For many years, I've told folks, I'm not trying to be radical. I'm trying to be some radical follower of Jesus. I just want to be a normal New Testament disciple. I want to be someone who, according to the Scriptures, lives a life that is consistent with the Word, consistent with living in the light of eternity, consistent with having been bought by the blood of Jesus. How should we live here? We've talked about what it means to be disciples. We often talk about Jesus' revolution. Today, I want to share with you 10 revolutionary commitments you can make. 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. Michael Brown, thank you so much for joining us today on The Line of Fire. And I want to ask you a question for discussion, kind of as a backdrop. Awakening in the church, revival in the church, to me is something of absolute critical life and death importance. You've often heard me speak about that if you've listened to this broadcast for any length of time. Awakening in the church leading to moral cultural revolution through the gospel. That's what we live for. That's what our hearts beat for here on The Line of Fire. So I want to just throw out a backdrop question for you. And we'll interact with your calls over the course of the program as I go through these 10 revolutionary commitments. And the question for you is this: do you believe an awakening is coming to America? Do you believe that there is another great awakening, or perhaps the greatest awakening ever, spiritual, moral awakening in our history? Do you believe that an awakening is coming? Perhaps you're agnostic about it. You'd love to see it happen, but you really don't know. Perhaps you have a theology that says, no, we're in the final decline, the end of the end times, and everything is going downhill from there. Perhaps you're convinced from Scripture that the best is yet to come. Perhaps just in your own heart and life praying, you have a certain vision, burden. Do you believe that an awakening is coming to America? Now, you may believe an awakening is coming, and afterwards there'll be a massive collapse, spiritual collapse or moral collapse or economic collapse. I'm not trying to put you in a particular box in terms of how this works out, but do you believe an awakening is coming to America? I'm going to interact with that question over the course of the broadcast. Take your calls, 866-34-TRUTH, online, askdrbrown.org, our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. There are a lot of practical books, best-selling books that have come out over the years. What was the 1-7 Habits of a Highly Effective Person or Highly Effective People? And I don't read a lot of business type books or even practical leadership type books. They tend not to be the thing that really moves me or stirs me or gets me interested or motivated or even helps equip me. For others, they're tremendously practical. But this much I know: I'll be preaching my heart out, people taking in the message, listening, and then I'll say, okay, three things you can do. And almost the moment I say three things, everybody, it seems, they pick up their pen, their pencil, or they start texting, you know, writing their notes in their phone, or they immediately, 1, 2, 3, whatever it is, practical steps. In other words, I understand that practical steps are important, things that we can all do. Come on, we want to see God move. We want to see things change. We want our lives to count. I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir and saying that we don't just want to survive. We want to make a difference. What can we do to make a difference? What I'm going to lay out, these 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary, are on the one hand as basic as they can be. On the other hand, they really do align us with God. They really do align us going against the tide of the world. They really do align us in a way that we can bear much fruit. So, I'm going to lay out for you today on the broadcast 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. And as a backdrop, we'll discuss the question, is awakening coming to America?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
I was mulling over this subject some months ago, saying, okay, let's say people, you're dealing with millions of people, and I said, look, I want my life to count. I want to do something. I want to be part of this Jesus revolution. What do I do? How do I live? And I prayed, wrote out a list of 10 items that if we signed off on these, some of them are the most basic of basics, and some of them seem so simple. But if we signed off on these and lived by them, we really would be living revolutionary lives. We really would be living lives that would make a difference. Along with that, if we're going to see change come, there must be a supernatural outpouring of the Spirit. There must be a moving of God that stirs hearts, because so many are backslidden, so many are compromised, so many are beaten down, so many are discouraged. Hence, we pray for revival and awakening. So as I lay out these 10 revolutionary commitments, I will also ask the question, do you believe awakening is coming to America? So we'll interact with these, then I'll take some of your calls. 866-34-TRUTH, or you can post on Facebook, Ask Dr. Brown, Ask Dr. Brown on Facebook. Okay, I'll tell you what, I'm going to read through the entire list. I know radio being what it is, unless you're listening online, catching up with a podcast later on, you may be in the car for 10 or 15, 20 minutes and just hear this part of the broadcast. So I'm going to read through my list, and I'm going to open these up over the course of this hour. 10 simple commitments. I'll tell you, if we live by these, it would have a revolutionary impact on our lives and on those around us. Number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. He said, that's the most basic, traditional crap. What kind of... No. It's very, very radical, revolutionary in terms of the whole foundation of our life flows out of that. Number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Number two, I will walk in purity of heart and integrity of life, in thought, in speech, and in deed. I'll repeat that. I will walk in purity of heart and integrity of life, in thought, in speech, and in deed. Number three, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. Talk about something that's revolutionary. Number four, I will commit myself to the Great Commission, looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, and make disciples. See, friends, what I'm talking about is defining our lives by these things. What I'm talking about is that when we do a checklist on our lives, instead of thinking, okay, how's the money situation in my family? Or what's the educational level I'm at? Or what's the comfort level that we're living at? Okay, I understand we have to live in this world and there are practical things, but rather examine ourselves by these standards. Number five, I will seek to be a peacemaker, an ambassador of reconciliation, forgiving those who have offended me and seeking the forgiveness of those whom I have offended. Number six, I will walk in love towards those who despise and reject me, overcoming evil with good and hostility with kindness. Number seven, I will pursue fellowship with brothers and sisters of like mind and will not separate myself from the body. Number eight, I will be involved with the ministry of mercy through serving or through giving, helping to relieve human suffering in a tangible way. Number nine, I will stand for righteousness and justice, enlisting myself in a moral cause for the honor of the Lord and the good of society. Number 10, I will seek the fullness of the Spirit, availing myself of everything God has made available for his people today. I'll open these up as the show goes on. I haven't written on this. I haven't preached on this, so I don't have further resources to offer you relative to this in terms of this list of 10, but plenty of other messages online you can listen to for free, other resources you can read online for free, and materials you can purchase that will reinforce each of these points. But friends, if we could simply live out these foundational aspects of what it means to be a follower of Jesus, the impact would be mind-boggling. The impact on our own lives, the impact on those around us. If we would set ourselves in a purposeful way to live these things out, we would be world changers. We would find ourselves in spiritual battle. There would be conflict and challenge, and there would be much, much lasting fruit to the glory of God. Now, before we begin to unpack these, my question for the day, do you believe another awakening, a great awakening, a greater awakening, the greatest awakening is coming to America in our future, or perhaps you believe it is too late for something like that. 866-34-TRUTH. Eric in Bowie, Maryland, what's your take?
Hey, what's going on, Dr. Brown? Thank you for taking my call.
Yes, sir.
I think my view on it is this. I think that that's a question that only we can answer as the church, and probably a question that God himself is asking us. You know, he says, if my people would humble themselves and pray, then I would heal their land. So I think as far as another great awakening, I think that's on the church as far as us coming together and asking for forgiveness, humbling ourselves, not Republican against Democrat, not looking at the world, but looking at ourselves in the mirror, looking at like you were talking about. And I think if the church can decide to do that, then I think that great awakening is definitely going to come. I think that it's all in our hands whether or not it'll happen or not.
Got it. All right, Eric, tremendous perspective, and I appreciate you starting us there. There are promises in the Word. If we'll humble ourselves and go after God, he will respond. So God is asking us the question, will there be an awakening? Thank you for the call, Eric. 866-34-TRUTH. Shane, we lost Shane in Boston. Let's see. Michael in Martinsburg, West Virginia. Michael, you're on the line of fire.
Thank you for taking my call.
You're welcome.
I think a great awakening could come to the United States. I think the United States needs a great awakening if it's going to survive. I don't know for sure that it's going to happen.
Yeah, why is it so critical? Of course, I totally agree with you, but why is it critical to have an awakening if we're going to survive?
Because without a great awakening, you've got all kinds of people making all kinds of wrong decisions that affect everything.
Right. So we're heading in the wrong direction, and if we continue on our current course, it is a serious crash. Thanks for calling, Michael. 866-34-TRUTH. Adam in Rockville Center. Hey, Adam, when I met my wife, Nancy, of 35-plus years now, she was living in Rockville Center. So nice to hear from you, buddy.
How you doing?
Doing well. Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Loud and clear.
Okay. I don't think that there's going to be a great awakening in America. I don't think that the way that people are looking at the great awakening, I think there is going to be a lot of turmoil going on in America. And I think that at that time, that the people who are going through the terminal are going to need to hear the gospel. The gospel, I think, is going to be preached at a different level. I don't have much time, but briefly, like a couple of weeks ago, I had this dream, and the dream was it was kind of really intense. But in the dream, there were like these serious hurricanes that was basically destroying the land, and people were dying, and people were being raptured out of the earth, and I actually was formally attacked by a demon, but I rebuked the demon in the name of Jesus Christ, and I said, in the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess. And this demon actually bowed before me and stood there and never moved again. And I was seeing these people getting raptured. I'm asking God, well, what about me? Well, why am I not leaving? And after it was all over, it was a really ugly scene. And God said, now preach the gospel. And I think I heard you speaking earlier today about the 144,000 and their descendants and the multitude of people who are going to have to preach the gospel. And
I I don't know who that was, but that wasn't me. So
okay, I'm sorry, but it must have been right before your show came on. But,
yeah, that's okay.
But more importantly, is that's the only way the awakening is going to happen. And this morning, God put it on my heart to read chapters Romans 13 and Romans 14. And basically, He was telling me this is what the people need to do and what to expect, and not really to worry about the politicians and the politics that's going on in the world.
Right. Let me just jump in. At the very least, there has to be awakening in individual lives, because there's so much complacency, so much malaise, so much worldliness in the church, that there must be the stirring of the reality of the gospel for each of us. So Adam doesn't see awakening coming. Let's see. Laura in Boston. Man, we must have something attacking the lines. I'm telling you, friends, I'm not messing with the Boston lines. I know there's this New York-Boston rivalry thing. I know Boston-Vancouver going into the seventh game of the Stanley Cup. But trust me, I'm not messing with the Boston lines. Folks are just cutting out on us. All right, rather than rush a call, we'll come back to your calls on the other side of the break. But let me reiterate point number one of these 10 revolutionary commitments. Number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. This is the anchor for our soul. This is the very source of our lives. Abiding in Jesus, having the Word of God abiding in our heart and mind, putting our roots down in God, everything flows out of that. Without that, we are ships carried away by the sea.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
You know, we often mess up on the simple things, the basic things, the foundational things. We want to go out and do these great exploits for God, climb the highest mountain for God, and God, what can I do for you? And he says, love your wife, take care of your kids, control your appetite. Spend time with me. And sometimes it's the simple things, the basic things where we mess up. In fact, my own observation in 40 years now in the Lord and watching friends and colleagues for decades and decades, my observation is it always comes down to the basics. It always comes down to how we have these things in place. 866-34-TRUTH is I'm laying out 10 simple commitments, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionaries. I'm laying these out on the broadcast today. Also asking a question, getting your input on, do you believe that awakening can come or will come to America? So let me go through a couple more of these points and then back to the phones. Number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Quality time with God, I tell you, everything pulls against that. Everything pushes you away from that. Everything wants to get you away from stopping what you're doing and focusing on God and determining this is the anchor for my soul. This is the foundation of my life, abiding in Him, His Word abiding in my heart. I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Is it a fixed thing in your life? Is it fixed in a quality way in your life? Number two, I will walk in purity of heart and integrity of life in thought and speech and in deed. We cannot change the world if we are being changed by the world. We cannot set captives free if we ourselves are bound. It's often been said we teach what we know, but we reproduce who we are. Who are you really on the inside? Who are you really when no one else is watching? What is the condition of your heart? You say, well, I'm not perfect. I'm asking what the condition of your heart is. Is it given over to the Lord? Do you understand what it is to have a pure heart and to walk in integrity? Are you honest in your dealings with other people? Are you pure in your sexual and romantic relations? Or are you godly in thought, in speech, and in deed? You want to be revolutionary? You want to be a world changer? You want to be counterculture? Live in purity of heart and integrity of life. Number three, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess Him boldly as Lord and Savior. It doesn't mean that you have to do unnatural and unwise things. You know, for example, in the middle of a final exam, stand up and shout, you know, Jesus is my Lord and I'm not ashamed. It doesn't mean that. It doesn't mean that in the middle of the workplace that you get on the table and shout out, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. No, it means that you really examine your heart. Am I ashamed of the gospel? Am I ashamed of Jesus? I will not be ashamed of Jesus. I realized many years ago as I'd be riding the Long Island Railroad on my way into New York City for teaching or for classes. I was taking grad school, and I always look for opportunities to share the gospel. I'd have some gospel track I could give out. And many times I realized I would give it out to the person right at the end of the ride. And I asked myself, why did I do that? I thought, because I'd rather not know if they're going to reject me and the message. I thought, that's being ashamed of the gospel on a certain level. I need to give it out right at the beginning. And if they want to talk, fine. If not, fine. But I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. Yes, Jesus is the way. Yes, Jesus has transformed my life. Yes, without the gospel, without Jesus, there is no salvation. And I'm not ashamed of him. I'm not ashamed of that message. We'll keep going through these over the remainder of the broadcast, but back to the phones. Bob in Silver Springs, Maryland, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Oh, thanks for having me, Dr. Brown.
You
yeah,
bet.
While you're talking, I'm going to try to get back to basics because I have a way of just going on once I start. So I got to believe there is going to be a outbreak, you know, another awakening. And this is before I was saved, before God saved me, I was gloom and doom most of the time, even suicidal. And after God saved me, I've struggled with that too. Right before I called you, I was driving along. I'm not sure what happened. I was asking God, what did I do? What happened? And I said, Lord, you know, give me something, please, to change me. And then I remembered I still need to know a lot more about eternal things. I'm still getting preoccupied at times with things that aren't. And then I remembered your show was on and the radio works in this car. I flipped you on.
Here we go.
Let me
ask this, Bob. I'm looking at our clock with a break coming up. What makes you feel that an awakening is coming?
Well, part of it, this is the thing, I'm not really sure, but because of these things that have happened to me even before God saved me, and they still do sometimes, like a few minutes ago, I'm not sure what that was all about. I got to believe it because I may be being attacked and not even realizing it to discourage me in general, because I do often get intimidated by situations that happen. I'm not as inclined to be. I think my discernment is really bad. Sometimes I think quite good, but maybe God is the one who's doing it, and it's not me doing it. You know, jumping up on the table. You know?
Right. Okay. So just to understand then, Bob, what you're saying is because you see in your own life these weaknesses, you see in your own life the ability to be distracted. You see in your own life how the pull of the world can be there, or the pull of the flesh, that you just have to believe God is going to do something more, do something greater, and hence believe the awakening is coming. Look, I understand that. In other words, when I look at my own life, I see there's more. I see God's promise more. Therefore, it gives me hope for more to come. All right. Phone lines are lit up. Stay with us, and I'll get to a lot of calls in the second half hour of the broadcast. Those of you that won't get the second half hour, catch up later with us online. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. I want to say thank you from my heart for those who have stepped forward and begun to make generous contributions to help sponsor the distribution of A Queer Thing Happened to America into the hands of Christian leaders across the country, state legislators, congressmen, people in academics. In fact, we've sowed many, 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 many already, and now we're getting sponsors so that we can sow many, many more. Thank you for those who are standing with us. If you missed the broadcast yesterday, what we're asking is sponsors, everyone that will donate $100 to the Line of Fire for your gift, we will send 5 copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America into the hands of key leaders in America. I don't mean just a random mailing address that we know will reach someone. I mean it will actually get into the hands of key leaders in America. For every $100, we'll sow in 5 books. So this is a 700-page hardcover volume, and we'll sow them into the hands of key leaders. If you'd like to stand with us and sponsor the distribution of A Queer Thing Happened to America, a book that I believe will have a revolutionary impact on the readers, give us a call right now at 1-800-278-9978. Some have donated even more to help us get even more books. Whatever you can do will be awesome. 1-800-278-9978. Say, hey, I'd like to sponsor 5 books or 10 books, whatever the amount is, so that we can get them into the hands of key leaders all over America and help spark moral culture revolution. Again, the number to call, 1-800-278-9978. That's also the number if you'd like to become a monthly torchbearer.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Jesus is Lord. Jesus is King. Jesus rules and reigns. With him on the throne, friends, we have nothing to fear. Thanks for joining us, 866-34-TRUTH, to get into the discussion. The question that we've put out, do you believe awakening will come to America? Do you believe that there is a great awakening yet ahead for our nation? And while we're asking this question, we're laying out 10 practical things that every believer can do, every child of God can do, to lead a revolutionary life for Jesus, to live as a real disciple, to be a real world changer. AskDrBrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire for resources that are relevant to today's show. So number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Number two, I will walk in purity of heart and integrity of life, and thought and speech and indeed. Number three, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. Number four, I will commit myself to the Great Commission, looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, and make disciples. Let me read that again. I will commit myself to the Great Commission, looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, and make disciples. Friends, that is not just going to happen automatically. That is not just going to happen because we'd like to see people come to faith. There must be a determination where I give myself to God. I commit myself to him. I pray for these things. I look for opportunities. I ask God for his burden, for his vision. And then this is not just something that I might do once in a special outreach during the year. But no, I'm looking for opportunities. Lord, there are lost people in my neighborhood, lost people in my family, lost people in the workplace, lost people in the schools with me. Lord, how can I make a difference? How can I reach out? Where are there people who have fallen away? How can I help restore them, bring them back? How can I be a disciple maker? I will commit myself to the Great Commission, looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, and make disciples. Back to the phones, Kathleen in Boston. What, all right, Hal, are you messing with our lines here in Boston? What is happening to our friends there in Boston? Anne in Manhattan, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing very well, thank you.
I'm sad to say, and it really saddens my heart, but I think that we had a great awakening in America these past couple of years, but I don't think we're going to have another great awakening in America.
Mm-hmm.
I think there'll be another awakening in Israel to our Jewish brethren, but I feel that what's going to happen now to those of us that are warriors for Christ, I think that we will have the Holy Spirit being poured more into us to guide us and to bring us together, the remnant of us that are believers. We will be guided to band together and guided as to what we should do, because we're going to be, pretty much out there without a great support system. But I think it's too late in America.
All right, and why do you think it's too late?
Because people are not turning themselves to the Lord. They don't get it. They just don't get it. And our politicians don't get it. And I think that God has given us a chance, and people have not turned their hearts to the Lord. And it's too late. It's like a wall is up. There's a dead wall.
Based on, we see scriptural principles as well, where God gives people opportunity to repent, door to repent, and then those doors can shut at a certain point. Hey, Ann, I appreciate the perspective. That's why we're asking the question. And you may have scriptural reasons for your argument. Our first caller said this is a question God's asking us, because 2 Chronicles 7:14 remains true, that if we humble ourselves and repent and turn to the Lord, that he will forgive and he will heal and he will restore. Others might say, based on scripture, you know, God knocks at the door. When there's not a proper response, then he will withdraw. I'm going to weigh in with my perspective as well. But back with your calls, back with more commitments of a Jesus revolutionary when we come back.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us on The Line of Fire. I want to encourage your heart in God that no matter where you find yourself, no matter what is going on around you, no matter how impossible the circumstances are, if you know the Lord, there's hope. If you know the Lord, there's hope. And everything that's meant for evil can be turned for good. And even things happening in your personal life, things happening on the national front can be turned for good as we turn to the Lord, walk with Him. 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.org. I'm going through 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary, 10 simple things we can all commit ourselves to. If we live this out, we will be radically changed and we will have a radical impact on our society around us. And then asking a question as a backdrop, do you believe that awakening, another awakening, is coming to America? So the points we've covered so far, number one, I'll spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Number two, I'll walk in purity of heart and integrity of life and thought and speech and indeed. Number three, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess Him boldly as Lord and Savior. Number four, I will commit myself to the Great Commission, looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, and make disciples. Number five, I will seek to be a peacemaker and ambassador of reconciliation, forgiving those who have offended me and seeking the forgiveness of those whom I have offended. Oh, this is big. Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The fact of the matter is, if we will forgive, if we will humble ourselves and ask for forgiveness, it will heal all kinds of breaches in the body. And it will even reach out to a hurting, angry, sinning world where we have fallen short, where we have blown it. I'm telling you, friends, this whole message of forgiveness, I'm trying to get a guest to come on with me one day to talk about the power of forgiveness because she can do it so much better than I can. And hopefully one of these days that guest will join me, at which point I'll introduce her to you. But I stand up for what's right. I'm often involved in controversy for what's right. But on a personal level, and in terms of my overall attitude, I am seeking to be a peacemaker before God as opposed to a troublemaker. Number six, I will walk in love towards those who despise and reject me, overcoming evil with good and hostility with kindness. You want to be radical? You want to be revolutionary? You want to go against the grain? You want to swim against the tide? Walk in love towards those who hate you. You want a good place to start, good place to experiment? How about if you're chatting online, interacting? How about if you get involved somewhere and there's a theological debate going on or people are attacking you that don't know the Lord? How about walking in love in those settings? Then how about doing it in interpersonal relationships close to you? Oh. All right, back to the phones. Carlton in Staten Island, thanks for calling The Line of Fire.
Hi, Dr. Brown. How are you?
Doing well, thank you.
I was calling. I told you sooner, you know. I think the problem with America is the church within America. It seems to have largely fallen asleep and forgotten what its purpose is.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
It doesn't seem to me any longer that the normal Christian life is the normal Christian life. If there's somebody who is sold out for the cause of Christ and, you know, who is with every breath of their body seeking to obey God, they're almost looked at as an outcast or a fanatic, somebody who's weird and, oh, you know, God doesn't require all that. But I think what God requires all that and so much more because, you know, Jesus was radical in his teaching when he said to his disciples that if you seek your life, you will lose it.
Mm-hmm.
But if you lose your life for the gospel and for my sake, you will find it. You know, we look to the cross for salvation, but hardly do we look to the cross and say, I am crucified with Christ. There's too much of us that's still alive.
Yes, yeah, so just to jump in, Carl, and then the bottom line, when we talk about awakening, you're 100% right. It has to start among the people of God. Awakening in society can only happen with awakening in the church. Absolutely. That's why I've said over and over, the biggest problem in America is not the presence of darkness. It is the absence of light. That's why I've written articles, Let the Awakening Begin with Us. And yes, the cross on a daily basis. Absolutely agree, Carlton. Thanks for the call. Elisha in Brooklyn, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Yeah, good afternoon, Dr. Brown.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, I believe strongly that revival can come back to America on the basis that we come back to God.
Mm-hmm.
Presently, America as a nation is no longer under God. But we have individuals who recognize God as their Lord and their Savior. Until we come back to that original state where the American nation was based upon, that in God we trust, revival can come.
All right, so it's as simple as that. If we humble ourselves and turn to God, God can restore, God can bring awakening. That's what Elisha says. O'Neill in Bridgeport, Connecticut, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Thank you for taking call, Doctor.
You're welcome.
I believe strongly that there will be a awakening in the United States. For example, if we go back to the Old Testament, in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah, when God was angry with that place and wanted to destroy it, and his disciple asked him, if he find 10 people in there that was true, would he save it?
Mm-hmm.
And he said yes. And there are a lot of God-believing people in this country that really want to see saved. And if we go down on our knees and pray earnestly to the Lord and try to do his will and try to show others the way, there can be an awakening. And I believe strongly that we have time for it.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you for weighing in clearly. If we humble ourselves, whether it's 2 of us, 10 of us, 10,000, 1,000,000, if we humble ourselves, God will respond. Robert in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Mr. Brown, God bless you.
God bless you.
I just wanted to say, would you turn on your son if he did wrong? You would give him that opportunity again because you love your son. And I do believe that God still loves this country. This is a magnificent country. Yes, the way it seems like we have turned our back on Christ, on God. This country was founded by our forefathers with that fear of God. And it does seem like we've lost it here, but I do believe God does not turn his back on his children. And if, in fact, I do believe we're... it's happening as we speak. People like yourselves, you're on the air, shedding light on what used to be wrong is now considered right. You're one of them. Us Christians, we need to unite. We need to pray and encourage one another, because it will happen, but it'll be short-lived because the end is near. God is coming. Jesus Christ is coming back for his church. And we need to be more vigilant and pray more and fast more and pray for our brothers and sisters more and spread this gospel. I cannot stress it more. But yes, there will be a revival here. I strongly feel it with all my heart. There will be.
All right. Hey, Robert, thanks for weighing in. And yes, the mercies of God are new every morning. I've got time. Roland in Houston, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown, how you doing, sir?
Doing well, thank you.
I talked to you the other day regarding Israel, and you already know we don't agree on some things, but I believe that this country is already in a state of apostasy, and John MacArthur did a story called, a sermon, When God Abandons a Nation,
mm-hmm.
and it's based on Romans chapter 1, and one of the indicators is that homosexuality becomes prevalent. And while I do believe this, it doesn't mean we don't go down fighting. I fully agree with you on all the things that you said, all 10 things, that we are to continue to be that way, continue to preach the gospel, and continue to seek out God's lost sheep. But I don't believe that there will be an end-time revival. No, I don't believe that.
Got it. All right. Hey, thanks for weighing in. And I'm sure there's far more we agree on than we disagree on. But thank you for the call, Roland. I appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
All right. Steve in Newark, New Jersey, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi, Brother Brown. I do believe that, well, you hit the point that was over my mind. As long as there's life, there's hope. And your fourth principle, if I can encapsulate, that we have to be proactive in finding opportunities to witness.
Mm-hmm.
It's not easy. It's not, in fact, it hurts. But you know what? Sin hurts. And where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. Even in my own life, in my own job, I was able to speak to a lady. I'm a toll collector. We get all types of disrespect. But I broke one lady down. Well, God did anyway. I'll give him the glory. And I got a chance to talk to her. So just one time, listen, you are really a beautiful person, and your smile will be a much more welcome than your anger.
Hey, the music's playing. Got to jump in. But, Steve, yes, sir, proactive. Proactive in witnessing. Thank you.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, revival, revival, awakening. Can it come again in our day? Can it come again to America? I'll give you my thoughts on that shortly, but I've been going through 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. I've not written on this yet. I've not preached a message on it. First time I've actually talked about it publicly is on the air today. So get what you can from the broadcast and go to our website, where we've got lots of related resources that you can dive in, take advantage of. Go to AskDrBrown.org and click on the Line of Fire. So, number one, I'll spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Number two, I'll walk in purity of heart and integrity of life and thought and speech and in deed. Number three, I'll not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. Number four, I'll commit myself to the Great Commission, looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, make disciples. Number five, I'll seek to be a peacemaker and ambassador of reconciliation, forgiving those who have offended me and seeking the forgiveness of those whom I have offended. Number six, I will walk in love toward those who despise and reject me, overcoming evil with good and hostility with kindness. Number seven, I will pursue fellowship with brothers and sisters of like mind and will not separate myself from the body. If we just end up completely independent, not in fellowship with brothers and sisters, not vitally connected with the body, whether you meet in a house group, whether you meet in a church building is not the issue. Whether you're part of a denominational group or a non-denominational group, it is just essential for us to be joined with other believers. It is only together that we will see a Jesus revolution in our culture, in our lives. Number eight, I will be involved with a ministry of mercy through serving or through giving, helping to relieve human suffering in a tangible way. If you really want to live this thing out, if we want to be in harmony with the teaching of the Word and in harmony with the heart of God and in harmony with the example of Jesus, we need to be involved in a ministry of mercy. Whether it is feeding the poor, whether it is reaching out to needy people in different parts of the world, whether it is ministering to the sick in hospitals, whether it is giving to groups that are helping do these very things, I will be involved with the ministry of mercy through serving or through giving, helping to relieve human suffering in a tangible way. Number nine, I will stand for righteousness and justice. Yes, every follower of Jesus. Yes, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Yes, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. I will stand for righteousness and justice. Justice, mercy, and faithfulness. Jesus said to the religious leaders, you should have done these things and not neglected the minor tithes, etc. But you should have done these first, the weightier matters. Justice, mercy, faithfulness. I will stand for righteousness and justice, enlisting myself in a moral cause for the honor of the Lord and the good of society. Whether that moral cause is fighting for the life of the unborn in your community, maybe helping work with a truck that shows ultrasounds to women who are contemplating abortion, whether it's standing with us as we reach out to the homosexual community with compassion and resist gay activism, whether it is supporting a ministry or getting involved with a ministry that's involved with human trafficking, whether it is bringing justice into the inner city and dealing with crime issues, I will stand for righteousness and justice. Every one of us. Can you imagine the impact that this would have? enlisting myself in a moral cause for the honor of the Lord and the good of society. And number 10, I will seek the fullness of the Spirit, availing myself of everything God has made available for his people today. Jesus said to his disciples, stay in Jerusalem until the power from on high comes down on you, until you're endued with power from on high, Luke 24:49. In other words, we cannot accomplish the commission God has given us to do without the power and fullness of the Spirit. That's why Paul wrote to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, and said, when I came, my speech and preaching were not with enticing words of men's wisdom, human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and power. Avail yourself of everything that God has for you in this hour so that you can lead a productive, world-changing life for him. My view about awakening, I believe, I can't guarantee it scripturally, I can't guarantee it prophetically, I believe another awakening will come to America. I can't prove it. Why do I believe it? Well, because the door of mercy has not yet been shut. Because to those in the greatest need in Scripture, God often comes with the greatest promises if we will humble ourselves and repent. I believe that the systems that we're engaging in and the church methods that we're engaging in and the ways that we're living are going to fail on so many levels that we will hit bottom and we will cry out. And that there is a prayer movement that has been rising up in many different forms and shapes for years now as people have been crying out to God. God will not be deaf to the cries of his people. I believe that in the midst of all kinds of problems and heresy and apostasy and sin, God will pour out his Spirit. I do not believe it's too late. We may be shaken to the very roots, to the core, to the foundation. We may go through the most difficult times we've ever known as a nation. I believe God will send awakening. I am believing him for a greater outpouring of the Spirit than I've ever seen in my lifetime, and perhaps greater than any generation in our lifetime. Great phrase there. Any generation in American history has seen. Why not? Is God not able? Doesn't revival come in times of failure, in times of loss? I am crying out to God and believing him with others of like heart, like mine. Like our first caller said, this could well be the question God's asking us. Is awakening possible? Can it come? He's asking us if we'll humble ourselves. But it will not come just because we sit back and just wait for this to fall like ripe cherries or apples from a tree. No, it will come when the hunger, the thirst, the desperation is so deep in us that we can't live any longer without the breakthrough. Hey, friends, just another reminder. We are compiling lists now of national leaders, Christian leaders, academic leaders, political leaders, business leaders, people of influence in different settings in our culture, where copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America can be put in their hands by friends of theirs, by co-workers, by fellow ministers, put in their hands. We know it is absolutely critical to get this message out now. So for everyone that sends in a gift of $100 to the Line of Fire, we are going to take five copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America. It sells for $27.99. Five copies of this hardcover and cover postage to get them out and to get them into the hands. We've got leaders ready to give out hundreds. Get them into the hands of these key leaders who will get them into the hands of colleagues, fellow workers all over America, believing that this can help awaken the conscience of the nation. So thank you for those who have made a commitment to do this already. If you'd like to make a contribution to help sow this book, this revolutionary book, into the hands of leaders all over the nation, call us right now at 1-800-278-9978. 1-800-278-9978. Or go to our website, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. Once more, to stand with us to help get these books out across the country, 1-800-278-9978. My bottom line is this. God has given us a way to live. God has given us purposes and plans. And if we will follow those purposes and plans, we will live lives that will bear much lasting fruit. We will live lives that will drive back the forces of darkness and advance the kingdom of God. Well, if you love Jesus, you want your life to count, you want to make an impact. On today's broadcast, I'm going to focus on 10 simple steps you can take to be a world changer for the Lord.
It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
So where do you start? The world's so messed up. 1.5 billion Muslims need Jesus. 800 million Hindus need Jesus. Here in America, so many people with a false Christianity. And then you've got all the social problems, all the issues of drugs and crime and immorality and breakdown of family. And then you got all the economic problems. And then you got all the Middle East conflict and on and on and on. And then what if there's a natural disaster and so on and so forth? And then there's sickness and pain. And, oh, how do we live lives that can be productive, where we can really be world changers, where we can really swim against the tide, go against the grain, follow the principles of Jesus, live lives that make an eternal impact, really be revolutionary people in this world, world changers rather than being changed by the world? That's revolutionary. How do we live this out? Where do we start? Well, I've got 10 simple commitments, 10 simple steps. Some are so basic, they're basic for everything we do in God. Others will develop a little more fully. 10 revolutionary commitments, 10 commitments for a Jesus revolutionary. If we can live these things out, friends, we will be world changers. We will see things happen around us that will glorify the Lord, encourage our hearts, and bear fruit that will last forever. Michael Brown, thanks for joining us today on The Line of Fire. Number to call, 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Click on The Line of Fire. Or our Facebook page, Ask Dr. Brown. Now, I'm going to go through all 10 of these commitments that all of us can make over the course of the broadcast and expand on them, explain them in a little bit more depth. I haven't written on this yet. I haven't preached a series on this yet, so I don't have a further resource that ties in with these 10, aside from the show today. However, there are many other messages and teachings that we have online that you can listen to free, or articles that you can read, or resources you can purchase that go hand in hand with this. So I'm going to go through these 10, and then there are plenty of resources we have where you can dive in deeper to reinforce, strengthen these in your lives. But I want to add something. We're going to put a question out for discussion over the broadcast. And the question is this: do you believe that revival can still come to America? Now, I've asked this on and off over the years, but we have so many new listeners in a number of new cities in recent months. I want to put out this question again. Do you believe that revival can come to America? Do you believe that a great awakening could be ahead of us? We read about great awakenings in our nation's history. Some of us have been part of significant moves of God. Is that all in the past? Is that all behind us? Spiritually speaking, are America's best days behind us? Or is it possible that God could respond to the prayers of his people yet again and pour out his spirit and shake this nation? Perhaps there'll be great suffering ahead. Perhaps there'll be great upheaval ahead. Perhaps America 10 or 20 or 30 years from now will hardly resemble America as we know it today. I don't know all the implications and ins and outs, but I'm simply asking, do you believe that awakening, true revival, could come to the Church of America and to the nation? Or perhaps according to your theology or your understanding of the end times, it's too late for that. Perhaps according to your understanding of America sinning against revealed light, it's too late for that. But as I go through these different points, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary, we will also take your calls on this at 866-34-TRUTH. Is it too late for revival to come in America? Obviously, whether revival comes or not, we're called to be disciples. Whether revival comes or not, we're called to live a certain way before God. But the question of revival coming is of massive, massive importance. Stay with us.
God of light, hear our cry, send the fire. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
All right, let's say you're totally out of shape physically, and you want to get in shape, man, you want to get in shape. You haven't exercised in 20 years. You haven't exercised in 20 years. Your diet is completely terrible, but you want to be in such unbelievably good shape that you are running the marathon. You are doing one-handed push-ups. You are looking like a young Jack LaLanne, for those who remember the day. And you ask some fitness expert, okay, what do I do first? And he says, well, just start like walking a little. Start walking. Well, just start walking. No. I mean, give me the unbelievable fitness plan. Just start walking a little and get rid of this one part of your diet. You know, get rid of the potato chips. No, I want to be like unbelievable. Yeah, start where you are. Take one step at a time. That's how it is with us and God, isn't it, friends? Oh, I want to shake the whole. I want to change the world. I want to see the whole world saved. I want to see the morgues. I want to see the dead raised out of the morgues. I want to see miracles. Oh, okay, well, how about starting with personal discipline and stop? Don't lie. Don't lie. God's going to start where we are and help us go deeper one step at a time. I want to help with each of us to lay a challenge in terms of how we can live as Jesus revolutionaries. Oh, this is radical stuff I'm going to lay out, but it's as simple and basic as can be and something every one of us can do. And I'll be going to the phone shortly with this question, a corollary question, kind of the backdrop for the entire show. Do you believe it's too late for revival in America? Do you believe that the window of opportunity is closed, or do you believe that it's still possible that the greatest awakening or a great awakening could be ahead for us? 866-34-TRUTH online, askdrbrown.org. Okay, let me read to you the 10 revolutionary commitments. I jotted these down prayerfully some months ago as I was asking myself the question. Let's say there are millions of people who say, okay, I want to get on board. I want to be a revolutionary. I want to live this thing out for Jesus. How do I do it? How do I live? So 10 simple principles. Are you ready? I'm going to lay them all out, and then over the course of the broadcast, I'll expand on them and intersperse that with your phone calls. Number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. And some of you say, oh, come on, just my quiet time, my disciple, just be disciple. Just tell me something radical, okay? Let me tell you something radical. Let me tell you something really, really radical. You ready? Number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Just to have that as the anchor of our souls, friends, will change everything around us. Number two, I will walk in purity of heart and integrity of life, in thought, in speech, and in deed. You want to be a Jesus revolutionary? You want to be a world changer? Here are some of the principles to commit to live by. Number three, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. Number four, I will commit myself to the Great Commission, looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, and make disciples. Number five, I will seek to be a peacemaker and an ambassador of reconciliation, forgiving those who have offended me and seeking the forgiveness of those whom I have offended. Number six, I will walk in love towards those who despise and reject me, overcoming evil with good and hostility with kindness. Number seven, I will pursue fellowship with brothers and sisters of like mind and will not separate myself from the body. Number eight, I will be involved with the ministry of mercy through serving or through giving, helping to relieve human suffering in a tangible way. Number nine, I will stand for righteousness and justice, enlisting myself in a moral cause for the honor of the Lord and the good of society. Number ten, I will seek the fullness of the Spirit, availing myself of everything God has made available for his people today. Friends, if we could model these things, live these out in our individual lives, I want to remind you, nobody can stop you from doing the will of God. you may be in a marriage where your spouse isn't following the Lord and you can't do a lot of the things activity-wise that you want to do, but your heart commitment, nobody can stop you from following the Lord and loving Jesus. Nobody can stop you from being pure. Nobody can stop you from walking in love. And if you honor the Lord in secret, he will make a way for you to honor the Lord in public. He will do that. If we order our lives according to these simple steps, these 10 steps, we will see change come all around us. We will see ourselves and find ourselves in the midst of real spiritual battles. We will find ourselves in the midst of satanic attack. We will find ourselves in the midst of setting captives free. We will find ourselves in the midst of bearing much fruit. You may be a public preacher. You may be a silent, you may be in the background in secret prayer. You may be playing 1,000 different roles. You may be funding gospel work. You may be standing on a street corner proclaiming the name of Jesus. But I'm telling you, however these things work their way out in our personal lives, as we live them out for Jesus, revolutionary living for the gospel, I'm telling you, friends, we will see radical change all around us. So I'm going to come back to these, open them up one point at a time. But first, we'll go to the phones, 866-34-TRUTH. Is it too late for revival to come to America? Is it too late for awakening? Glenn in the Bronx, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. Can you hear me?
Oh, sure thing.
Good. Anyway, just first of all, I just want to let you know, man, I think your show is really great. And I do believe revival is possible. And the main reason why I believe it is because God's doing a revival in me. And I believe that's where it's going to start in each one of us individually. And that it's going to spread. And I believe revival's possible scripturally because the word says all things shall be possible with God.
All right. Now, Glenn, in your own life,
sure,
have you aggressively been pursuing the Lord, or is it something that you're just kind of seeing something happening in yourself, awakening coming in your own life?
It is that, because God is the initiator of it. You know, he's fulfilling his promises in me, and I know it's not just for me, but for the body, and how, you know, just how far that's going to go out into the world, you know, only God knows. But I do agree with you, one way or another, whether or not we get the worldwide revival or the revival in America, we are obligated to seek God anyway. And but God is doing it. He's doing a sovereign work. And I'm just thankfully cooperating as best I can, not without failures and not without. But I see it. You know, the Bible says where there's no vision, the people perish. And God is showing me a vision for his glory.
And let me encourage you, Glenn, to be real jealous of whatever the Lord's doing in your life as the fire is burning. Keep cultivating that on a daily basis. Thank you for the call, Glenn. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Stephen in Palm Harbor, Florida. Well, Stephen had the opposite perspective. Stephen felt that, just looking at the note that was on the screen, that revival wouldn't happen or couldn't happen. I find it interesting that there are different perspectives. I expect that there will be different perspectives. I personally cannot say anything negative definitively based on Scripture. In other words, I cannot say based on Scripture that it is too late for revival to come in America. There may be judgment, there may be collapse in different ways, but do I find scriptural evidence, either clear prophetic teaching about America or clear scriptural principles that indicate that it is impossible for revival to come to America? No, I don't. Now, feel free to call in and share that. Feel free to call in and say, okay, here's why I say it scripturally, or here's why I say it just in terms of my own heart belief. But I find many reasons scripturally to say it still could happen. It still is possible. So I want to hear from you. Get your perspective. 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-348-7884. And let me begin to go through 10 revolutionary commitments, or what you could call 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. Number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. You know, you can follow Jesus for 100 years, and it's never going to change. The foundation for our lives is to put our roots down deep in God. The image of Psalm 1, the person who walks away from godlessness and the ungodly and puts down roots in God, that person delights in God's teaching, delights in God's law, speaks it, recites it day and night. He's like a tree planted next to irrigation channels and always bearing fruit in season, his leaf never withering, everything he sets his hand to do succeeding because he's in harmony with God. Jesus saying in John 15, if you remain united with me, if you abide in me, my words abide in you, ask what you will, it will be given to you. In other words, there's a harmony that comes. There's a fellowship that comes. We see the life that Jesus lived and how prayer was at the foundation and how he would often separate himself and just go to be with his Father. What an example for us. And if he needed to, certainly we all need to on a foundational level. Put your roots down. How deep are you in God?
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us today on the Line of Fire as we talk about 10 revolutionary commitments, ways that we can live to be world changers, to be Jesus revolutionaries, to go against the grain, to swim against the tide, to make an impact, to cause light to shine in darkness, to set captives free. Yes, all that and more as we commit ourselves to follow him. Here's the number to call, 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. And the question we're asking as a backdrop to the program, do you believe it's too late for revival to come to America? Or do you believe that revival could come? Do you believe the greatest awakening could be yet in our future? We'll take your calls, 866-348-7884. Online, ask drbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. You'll find lots of resources that are relevant to today's show. So before I go to the phones again, number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Quality time with God, meeting with him, pouring out our hearts to him, hearing from him through his Word. That changes everything. That's the foundation for everything. And without that foundation, nothing else we do will last. Number two, I will walk in purity of heart and integrity of life, in thought, in speech, and in deed. This is revolutionary living in terms of the world. This is going against the grain. This is saying no to the lust of the flesh and the lust of the eyes and the pride of life. This is saying no to compromise. This is saying no to the system of this age. This is saying I will walk in the Spirit. I will walk with a heart set on doing the will of God. We cannot change others if we ourselves are not changed. It is an established law of the kingdom of God that everything reproduces after itself. Everything reproduces after itself. Who am I? That is ultimately what I'll reproduce, not what I do just in public, not what I say behind a radio mic, not what I write in a book. I will ultimately reproduce who I am. Who are you in terms of your own life, your own purity? Yes, we're cleansed by the blood of Jesus, but then he empowers us to live a life that is holy. Number three, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. It doesn't mean noisily. It doesn't mean disruptively. It doesn't mean lacking wisdom. It doesn't mean lacking compassion. But it means that my posture and attitude is not one where I'm sorry about Jesus. I'm sorry I have these beliefs about Jesus. Well, gee, I know. No. Yeah, there may be sins that have been committed by church leaders. There may be sins that we have committed. There may be things that have been done wrong in church history. But Jesus himself is glorious and wonderful, the very image of God. Therefore, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly. Will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. That is the hope of the world. That is the answer for the world. That is the revolutionary message. All eyes turn to him. Therefore, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. Back to the phones, James in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hey, Dr. Brown. How are you doing today?
Very well, thanks.
Well, good. Listen, I find this discouraging, what I'm going to ask you about. And after I ask, I guess I'll just hang up and let you talk about it. But here's the thing. With revival and the enlightened, the Great Awakening stuff, in the past, I started reading about that recently, and partially from listening to you talk about it. And I kind of got this impression that a lot of what has happened in the past with Christianity having an impact on the direction our country has taken, it's had to do with eschatology and how people became convinced, it seemed like, that, you know, end times were coming, an apocalyptic wrapping up at the end of the world, which fired up people psychologically to get involved with Christianity and Christian goals, et cetera. But it concerns me that you know, it's like history's repeating itself, because it seems like I'm hearing a lot of that same kind of talk now, and it seems like that is driving a lot of Christian involvement in politics and such.
So kind of a Christian nationalism, that we have to make this a Christian country, or that we were a Christian country, as opposed to looking for the church just to awaken on its own terms?
Well, it's like it's not focused on walking the walk every day as a Christian, but it's focused on some kind of historical perspective that, okay, the end of the world's coming, and we need to get out there and tell everybody that you better convert now and you better straighten your life out now, because you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, and of course, if the emphasis is on date setting, we're making a terrible mistake. If the emphasis is on the reality that Jesus will return one day and that we will stand before God, how should we be living today? That would be the bigger issue. But I agree.
Right, but I don't think that's not what I'm talking about, you see.
Oh, no, I understand that. I fully understand. That's why I contrasted it. In other words, it's very different. We often do get caught up in the date-setting error, and hopefully with the exposure of the error of Harold Camping and his nonsensical predictions about May 21st, people are going to be drawing back from that. Let me just say this. We must be crying out to God for revival, not simply because of a prophetic timetable, and not simply because the nation is in a mess, but because we ourselves recognize that something's wrong. We ourselves recognize that something's missing, and that for us to be the church, the people of God he's called us to be, we need to turn to him in repentance. So my hope, James, with you, is that things will go deeper in the coming days, and that we won't be caught up with a prophetic frenzy, for lack of a better word. 866-34-TRUTH. Anne, also in Winston-Salem, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. I'm going to take a little different perspective here on this. I believe that the question itself is flawed. I don't think we should be asking God for revival. I think we should be doing what God set us here to do, and that is to spread the good news, to tell the word, to share the word, because the living is, even though it will be for an eternity, it is also here and now.
Mm-hmm.
And the joy in living a life, a Christ-like life, is here and now. And revival is up to God.
All right, so let me just ask one question. Obviously, the focus of the show is about how we can live here and now, and 10 practical steps to take. So I'm totally with you on that level. But if we see a need for tremendous change, if we see believers around us in a backslidden state, if we see things in our own lives that are wrong, and we're crying out to God, isn't it good to have a hope that God is going to answer those prayers and come and revive his people? I mean, isn't that a positive?
That is a positive, but that we shouldn't pin our hopes on that. We have to let God decide what he wants to do and how he's going to, because we can't dictate to God what he is to do.
All right,
that's almost
got it.
That's like saying, well, God, don't harden your heart and, you know, reprimand your children. I mean, none of us want to be reprimanded. However, if that's what it takes.
All right, hey, I got to run, got a break here, Ann, but thanks for the call. Has God given promises? That's the question.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown. Your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks so much for joining us today. I want to focus on what it means to be a Jesus revolutionary and practical terms. How do I live this out? What steps can I take to really follow the Lord and go against the grain, swim against the tide, live a life that is a life of a disciple, be a change maker rather than being the one that's changed all the time? I'm going to give you 10 simple revolutionary commitments, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary on the broadcast. Thanks so much for joining us. Also asking the question, is revival coming to America? Or is it too late for revival? Are there promises in the Word, or are there things in the Word that tell us the opposite? Do you have a sense yourself? Do you believe that revival will come? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Online, askdrbrown.org. Let me read through these 10 revolutionary commitments. I wrote these out some months ago when asking myself the question, if people say, you know, I want to bring about change. I want to be a disciple. I believe in this Jesus revolution thing, but how do I live it out? What does it mean? So 10 simple commitments. Number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Time with God, intimacy with God being the foundation of all that we do. Relationship with God being the source of life out of which everything else flows. Number two, I will walk in purity of heart and integrity of life and thought, in speech, and in deed. Walking in purity. Blessed are those who are pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. They are the ones who will see God. It's those whose hands are clean and whose hearts are pure who will be God's representatives and ambassadors on the earth. I will walk in purity of heart and integrity of life and thought and speech and in deed. Number three, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. If we are going to have an impact on society, it is not going to be only through political means or only through social means or only through economic means. It must be ultimately all about Jesus. Therefore, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. Number four, I will commit myself to the Great Commission, looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, and make disciples. I will actively determine my life will be part of the Great Commission. Can I ask you a question honestly? Just the two of us. Can I ask you a question honestly? Are you proactively committed to being a Great Commission follower of Jesus? In other words, that you understand that while you are here in this world, that you have a divine purpose, and part of that divine purpose is being part of the Great Commission. Therefore, you are looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, make disciples. Friends, that alone is a revolutionary commitment that will have a ripple effect around the country if we as God's people, not just the clergy, not just a few select leaders, not just the radical evangelists, no, every believer, if we said, okay, I'm going to commit myself to the Great Commission. Oh, maybe you're not going to be a full-time missionary on the field. Maybe your experience will be something else. But where you are a missionary sent by God. I will commit myself to the Great Commission, looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, make disciples. Number five, I will seek to be a peacemaker and ambassador of reconciliation, forgiving those who have offended me, and seeking the forgiveness of those whom I have offended. Oh, friends, when we humble ourselves, when instead of being troublemakers, we seek to be peacemakers, and we seek to reach out as ambassadors of reconciliation, not compromising the truth, but humbling ourselves and walking in grace, forgiving as we have been forgiven, and making things right. The impact of that is extraordinary. I will seek to be a peacemaker, ambassador of reconciliation. We'll be back with your calls. Is it too late for revival?
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into the line of fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks for joining us, friends. It is a delight to be with you. We're laying out practical thoughts for followers of Jesus, 10 revolutionary commitments, 10 ways that we can live as Jesus revolutionaries so that our lives are bringing about change rather than the world changing us. Come on, friends, it's time for us to be changing the world. How? By living these simple principles out. Also, as a backdrop question during the broadcast, simply asking this: do you believe it's too late for revival to come to America? Or do you believe that there could be a great awakening yet ahead of us? 866-34-TRUTH, 866-348-7884. Again, online, askdrbrown.org. Before I go to the phones, let me continue down this list of revolutionary living that we can do, principles, steps that we can take. Number six, I will walk in love towards those who despise and reject me, overcoming evil with good and hostility with kindness. You know, people like Gandhi and Martin Luther King recognized the nonviolent principles of Jesus as being the most powerful principles there were to bring about social change, going against the grain, not fighting force with force, not fighting hatred with hatred, not fighting anger with anger. I mean, what good is it? How can we bring about spiritual change by fleshly, carnal responses and actions? So if we really want to be disciples of Jesus and really want to be Jesus revolutionaries, simple principle: I will walk in love towards those who despise and reject me, overcoming evil with good and hostility with kindness. This is something most all of us get to do because there are people who hate us. Now look, if I'm being hated because I'm foolish, because I'm obnoxious, because I'm mean-spirited, okay, it doesn't justify the hate, but certainly it's not suffering for the Lord. If I am obnoxious and just bothering people all the time and not caring about them at all, and then they reject me, you're rejecting me for the gospel. No, they're rejecting me because I was obnoxious. But when we are hated and despised for Jesus' sake, for the truth's sake, all the more opportunity do we have to walk in love, to walk in grace, to walk in compassion towards those who oppose us. And here's a great way to live it out. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of stuff that happens every day online where people are interacting. They're interacting on Facebook. They're tweeting back and forth. They're interacting in some comments after some article has been posted somewhere. They're interacting in a blog. And there's back and forth. You may go on there anonymously. Nobody knows your name, but God still sees who you are. What a great opportunity to represent Jesus rightly, to go into hostile places where people are nasty and mean-spirited and to interact graciously and patiently. It's a great way to learn how to walk in love and not respond in kind. I tell you, we can have the right cause. We can have the right emphasis. We can have the right, we can be motivated to do the right thing for the right reason. But if we do it in the wrong spirit, we disqualify ourselves and we disqualify the message that we're seeking to put forward. So commitment number six: I will walk in love towards those who despise and reject me, overcoming evil with good and hostility with kindness. With that, the larger question that we're also asking: do you believe that it is too late for America in terms of revival? I've asked this over the years on the broadcast with so many new listeners and so many new cities. I want to put this question out again. This may be your personal view. It may be something you hold to based on scripture. What's your take? Beginning with Brent in Heaths, Iowa. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire. Hello?
Hello.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, I'm sorry. I wanted to say, first of all, I agree with 100% with what you're saying, your principles. The thing about revival that I think is that we're the revival. We're the ones that are supposed to go out there and witness to every living creature and sit in our churches and our homes and pray for revival is basically sitting back and asking God to do what he told us to go out and do. And we are his voice on the earth, and we're supposed to go out and win the lost and then bring them into the church and then the fivefold ministry is for the perfecting of the saints. But instead, people don't speak about it. They might invite somebody to church, and the church every Sunday does message for the lost because a few lost people are there, when they should be bringing people in that are already saved and perfecting them.
So let me ask this. I fully agree that we have a commission to live out, that God has given us his spirit and he's equipped us to do the work, and that it's not up to us to sit back and just pray that something will happen, that there is a task, there is an assignment, there is grace, the power of the gospel. What happens if we see lethargy in the body? What happens if we seem to be hitting walls? What happens when it seems that people are in an anemic spiritual condition? What happens when even leaders have lost their focus? Isn't that a right time then to pray for revival?
Well, yeah, I mean, but more so to pray that God would send workers in the field, because it falls back to us.
You know, okay, but pray, what if we're okay? What if the workers are sleeping? What if the workers are sleeping?
Pray for our brothers to be woke up and revived, as far as going out and preaching. I mean, it's just, you know, to ask God to do what he commissioned us to do.
No, but I'm not asking God to save the lost. And again, I agree with much of what you're saying, but I'm not asking God to save the lost. I'm asking God to awaken a sleeping church. I'm asking God to help and to have mercy, because many times the workers are sleeping, and the leaders are sleeping. So what do? I say, God, oh God, stir your people, awaken your people.
And while we may be in the midst of the apostasy here, the great falling away, and that may be what we're seeing.
Right, which is right. So that's part of the reason for my question. In other words, that some would feel that way, that we are in that position, and therefore it's too late. But again, I want to reaffirm where we are in harmony, which is we have a responsibility, we have a commission, and we have grace to do it. And if we'll go about doing it, we will see great change come. Hey, thanks for the call. I'm sure there's more we could chat about. I want to try to get to as many calls as possible. Jim in Cumming, Georgia, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon.
Hey, I agree with all your commitments. I mean, they're wonderful. I wish I could tell you that I did a good job in any number of those, but I'm not going to lie to you. I don't. First of all, I don't think there's any fear of God, which would obviously, and I'm talking about the church. I'm not talking about the lost. That's a given. But I'm talking about the leaders in the church and the normal Christians that are out there. There's no fear of the Lord. There's a lot of people who say they believe in God, but I don't think there's anybody that believe God. And I think that's what I see. I don't see any leadership at all. I see the church, when the preachers say the divorce rate is the same in church as it is out, drug use is the same in church as it is out, that tells me that there's complete apathy. There's no Christian example, period. I mean, if you did half of that commitment that you just listed, those 10 commitments, if you were able to, on a consistent basis, even do half of them, you would be looked at as a miracle person in today's society. And I'm talking about as a leadership in the church. There is no leadership. That's just my opinion.
All right. Hey, well, Jim, I appreciate you weighing in on that. Certainly, I'm constantly sounding the alarm, and I'm constantly talking about the needs in the body. I would say, though, Jim, that there's definitely a remnant, and I've been around many of these people all my years in the Lord, hungry for God, serious for the Lord, seeking his face, going for the lost, making a difference, both leaders and individual believers. So I want to pray with you, Jim, that in the midst of seeing what's wrong out there, that God would get you around some people who are really radically committed to the Lord, burning for Jesus also, and that some of that fire will ignite something fresh that will encourage your heart as well. So thanks for being honest, Jim. I appreciate it. 866-34-TRUTH. Okay, I'll get back to the phones on the other side of the break. Let me give you number 7 in my list. I will pursue fellowship with brothers and sisters of like mind and will not separate myself from the body. Friends, the issue is not whether you meet in a house church or in a mega church. The issue is not whether you're part of a denominational congregation or a non-denominational congregation. The issue is, are you vitally connected with others in the body? Now, maybe you live somewhere in a village of 11 people, okay, and they're all atheists except for you, and there's not a fellowship of believers within 300 miles. Maybe so, in which case I'm so glad I can come to you by radio or by internet. So find some other believers online and try to hook up. But in point of fact, that this is not the state with 99.9% of us. We can and must connect with others and be intricately related with the rest of the body. Together, we make a difference.
It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Okay, I'm going to read through these commitments again very quickly, open up the last few, and get to as many calls as I can. 866-34-TRUTH, 10 revolutionary commitments, 10 commitments of a Jesus revolutionary. I don't have this in book form or message form yet, so get everything you can by listening to the show. Number one, I will spend quality time with God every day in prayer and the Word. Number two, I will walk in purity of heart and integrity of life and thought and speech and in deed. Number three, I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. Number four, I will commit myself to the Great Commission, looking for opportunities to win the lost, restore the backslidden, and make disciples. Number five, I will seek to be a peacemaker, an ambassador of reconciliation, forgiving those who have offended me and seeking the forgiveness of those whom I have offended. Number six, I will walk in love towards those who despise and reject me, overcoming evil with good and hostility with kindness. Number seven, I will pursue fellowship with brothers and sisters of like mind and will not separate myself from the body. Number eight, I will be involved with the ministry of mercy through serving or through giving, helping to relieve human suffering in a tangible way. I will be involved with the ministry of mercy through serving or through giving, helping to relieve human suffering in a tangible way. Whether that ministry of mercy is feeding the poor, clothing the hungry, delivering people from oppression in different ways, every one of us can be involved either through our own participation or financially standing together, giving. Everyone can be involved with the ministry of mercy. Everyone should. Number nine, I will stand for righteousness and justice, enlisting myself in a moral cause for the honor of the Lord and the good of society. I will stand for righteousness and justice. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Blessed are you who are persecuted because of righteousness. I will stand for righteousness and justice, enlisting myself in a moral cause for the honor of the Lord and the good of society. Be that moral cause pro-life. Be that moral cause reaching out to the homosexual community with compassion and resisting gay activism with courage. Be that moral cause helping minister to gangs in the inner city, standing for righteousness and justice. Every believer enlisted in the moral cause. Can you imagine the impact that would have? Number 10, I will seek the fullness of the Spirit, availing myself of everything God has made available for his people today. It is only by God's grace, anointing, power that we will see his work come to pass. All right, to the phones, Tom in Durham, North Carolina. Well, no more Tom. Randy in Aurora, Colorado. Thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hello.
Hello.
I wish on one of your resolutions about the homosexuality, you said reach out to the homosexual community. What about just say that it's wrong? I mean, we're not even allowed to do that anymore.
Well, that's
we're not
part
even
of
allowed to say it's wrong.
That's part of resisting gay activism with courage. So
yeah,
you've ever listened to this broadcast at all, of course, we make clear.
Well, happening in our world today. You can't even say, you know, everything that's wrong is right and everything that's right is wrong.
I understand it.
So that's,
absolutely.
That's all the points that you have are great if you're a Christian. But a lot of people think that if you do good stuff, you know, that's all you need to do is do good stuff.
This is
we don't get saved by good stuff.
this is for followers of Jesus, which is why I will not be ashamed of Jesus, but will confess him boldly as Lord and Savior. That's number three.
Well, that's my point, really, about the, you ask if the country is ready for revival or whatever. There's really two kinds of churches. There's the true church, the ones that truly follow Christ, and then there's the pseudo or nominal church that just look like they do and they really don't.
Yeah, absolutely understood.
So, I think there's revival for the true church, yes. Mm-hmm. For the false church, for those that just go to church on Sunday and that's about it, no.
Yeah, obviously those folks really have to come to know the Lord. All right, thanks for the call, Randy. I appreciate it. Oh, Miguel in Salt Lake City, Utah, thanks for calling the Line of Fire.
Hi. My problem is I want revival for myself. I used to be really on fire for God, and I used to go out and witness, and you couldn't keep my mouth quiet for Jesus. I used to drive people nuts. But now I'm kind of just really lukewarm, and I mean, I get cheered up at church, and the Lord speaks to my heart, I know, but I just lost that fire. I lost that burning, and I want it back.
Yeah, so, Miguel, what you have to do is make it the number one priority of your life. You have to determine that you can't continue to live with half a heart for the Lord, and whatever it takes, you're going to go after him. So shut out the things you need to shut out. When you feel prompted, when you feel a push, go with it. When the hunger and thirst are there, go with it. When you're just desiring to get in the Word, go with it. Don't worry about 100% change overnight. Walk in the light you have. Draw near to God. He will draw near to you. And amen. For each of us, the ultimate issue is revival, personal revival, renewal in our own lives. And being honest before God is where it starts. So draw near to him, Miguel. Be determined that the next time I talk to you that you'll say, man, the fire is back, the hunger's there, the thirst is there. God will do it. And I pray that God will light a fresh fire in you. And for everyone listening that says, yeah, that's me. That's me. The fire has gone out. Or just a fraction of who I used to be in terms of love for God or commitment or holiness or purity or faith. Or God, I pray that you light a fresh burning fire in the hearts of your people. Those who are asleep, Lord, awaken. Those who are indifferent, give them passion, hunger, and conviction again. Those who are struggling and discouraged, put hope within their hearts that they may take hold of your promises. God, we ask it in Jesus' name. Again, a prayer from an old evangelist. Draw a circle on the ground, get inside the circle, and say, God, revive everything in this circle. A heartfelt appreciation for those who are now standing with us and helping us get copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America into the hands of key leaders throughout this nation. There's a list being compiled by different leaders in different parts of the country that will ultimately be thousands of people long, but key leaders, key political leaders, key spiritual leaders, key business leaders, key academic media leaders, different leaders will be getting books into the hands of different leaders as donors sponsor them. If you can stand with us, here's what we're asking. For every gift of $100 for the Line of Fire broadcast, we will take five copies of A Queer Thing Happened to America, which is a $27.99 hardcover. Five copies we will then send to not just to some random, okay, here's the guy's address. No, but we'll get them into the hands of colleagues, fellow workers who will get them directly into the hands of key leaders all over America. So if you want to be a sponsor for five copies or for 50 or for 500 copies, give us a call at 1-800-278-9978. And again, my heartfelt appreciation for those who joined with us yesterday. This is helping us advance a cause in the earth. This is helping us bring about change. 1-800-278-9978. We believe that God can use this book to help bring an awakening of conscience in the nation. One more time, that's 1-800-278-9978. Say, I'd like to sponsor five books or whatever the number would be. Also online, askdrbrown.org. Click on the Line of Fire. My bottom line, if we will follow the principles of Jesus, we will never be disappointed.